Welcome those of you who are in our Refuge Worship Service, and I'd ask you to join us in the auditorium by taking a Bible and opening to Hebrews chapter 10. And as always, here in the auditorium, if you need a Bible, there's one in front of you, and you can take and keep it as a gift to you from our church, or if you're in Refuge, there are Bibles at the back when you're leaving, or right now you can get up and go get one, and we'd love for you to have a Bible yourself. This morning we're going to continue in our study from Hebrews 10, and we're going to focus on three verses of Scripture, but look intently at just one phrase that is repeated three other times in the Bible. And I want to encourage those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to faith in God, I want to encourage you to continue in that faith, to endure in it. Here's what I mean. The greatest institutions of what we call the church are those institutions that remind people they are the church. Meaning, too many believers have a dichotomy in their lives. They live their lives Monday through Saturday, and then they come to church and have a different life on Sunday. That's not the way the church was structured. We are the church. You are the church. This building is an institution. The best institutions are those that remind you that when you leave this place, life begins. And this morning I want to show you that faith in God is life itself. Meaning, every day of your life, your faith in God is your life. Now, I realize that some of you come to church on Sunday morning and you sit through a worship service and your mind is a million different directions than what's taking place. You're thinking about all kinds of other things that are going on. I spoke with John about a loved one who's been diagnosed with cancer and her life is hanging by a thread. Spoke to Dan. The things that he's been going through in his life, you come to the institution on Sunday. You know, I can't blame Dan for thinking of other things. The Workington, Stephen Laurie. Been visiting with them about their lives and some major decisions in front of them. And, you know, coming to church on Sunday morning, sometimes we lose perspective. Christianity is about how we live Monday through Sunday, not just Sunday morning. And I believe the text that I'm about to show you will be fuel for your fire, will be gasoline for your spiritual engine. Faith in God is life itself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Now let me pause right there and remind you that the writer of Hebrews is writing to believers in Christ who are Jews, Hebrews, and they are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Some are being tempted to turn back to Orthodox Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews says, oh, no. You have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? Enduring in your faith. When you've done that, you will receive what was promised. This is the verse on which we base one of the great doctrines of the Christian faith called perseverance of the faith. Meaning, if you're truly a Christian, when you come to faith in Christ, you will endure in that faith until you die. Period. If you ever renounce it, you never were a Christian in the first place. Ever. You were may have been a Christian in name, but you were never born again. Because those that the grace of God grips endure to the end. Verse 37. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And of course, that's Christ. And he comes for us at death. He comes for us in his second coming. He came in 70 AD to destroy Orthodox Judaism and destroy the temple. And I believe that's a portion of the reference there in verse 37. But regardless, know this, Jesus is one day coming for you as well. Verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Take a look at verse 38. My righteous one shall live by faith. Too often when we read the Bible, we read it for other people and not ourselves. If you have faith in Christ, you are called God's righteous one. You are a saint. This verse is a reference to you. Read it like this. I shall live by faith. I, by faith, shall live. The King James Version says, the just shall live by faith. This one verse is repeated three other times in the Bible. Habakkuk 2, verse 4, Galatians 3, verse 11, and Romans 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. I, by faith, shall live. Now let me ask you a question. What does it mean to live our lives by faith in God? Three things from this text. Number one, faith in God brings vitality and strength through trusting that He is always working on my behalf. In the book of Genesis, the Bible describes a man by the name of Esau. And listen to what the scripture says of him. Esau will live by the sword. Now, what does that mean? Ted, keep that up for just a little bit. What does that verse mean? Well, it obviously doesn't mean that Esau took his sword and he ate the sword. It doesn't mean that the sword itself brought life. No, 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 no. What Esau obtained by the sword is how he lived. What he conquered by his warfare is how Esau lived. The sword was the means through which he lived. Now think with me. The just, my righteous one, I shall live by faith. Think with me. Faith is not what's important here. It's the means through which you see God. Too many Christians make faith the object. We call it the faith movement. It's all about your faith, how much faith you have, what quality of faith you have, what kind of faith you have. Folks, that's not the issue. Just like the sword wasn't the issue in Esau's life, it's what the sword brought him that caused Esau to live. So too, your faith, what it brings you, is what gives you life. What does faith bring you? Watch. Your faith is in God. And it is your faith in God only that brings you life. For example, some of you may be trusting your abilities. Some of you may be trusting your looks. Some of you may be trusting your skills. Some of you may be trusting your job. Some of you may be trusting your money. Oh, my word. You're not going to live well doing that. Faith in God is strength and vitality. Faith is a little bit like binoculars at the ball game. They're a tool. You pick up binoculars and you look through them and you see the action on the field. It's not your faith in the binoculars that gives you joy. It's faith in what you see that gives you joy. It is not faith in your faith that should bring you joy. It is your faith in God's action in your life, which means if you really want to live, if you want strength for life, the just shall live by faith in God. God is always at work on your behalf. What this also means is, it's not only faith in God alone, it's faith in God ordinarily. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said that there is no object too small that a child of God can bring to his Father's attention. Faith in God ordinarily means that as you go through life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever comes your way, you pull up your spiritual binoculars and you look through to God and you say, I'm in His hands. I'm His child. It's going to be okay. Doesn't make any difference what comes my way. My faith is not in my job. My faith is not in my health. My faith is not in what I possess. My faith is in God only. And He is always looking out for my best interest. How do we know this? Well, the Scripture tells us. He who gave us His Son, how shall He not also freely give us all things in association with Him? Meaning, when you have a need in your mind, you may think you know what is best, but you need to realize that your God actually does. So turn your faith in God only, trust Him, see Him at work, and then relax. For the just live by faith. Now let me show you the opposite of living by faith. It's not pretty. Well, let me see if I can't give you a picture. The second point I want you to see is that faith in God brings vitality and strength by setting aside religious performance in order to obtain God's favor. It doesn't say the just shall live by their religious performance. It doesn't say the just shall live by attending church on Sunday. It doesn't say the church shall live by performing for God. It says the just shall live by faith. By faith, the just live. Christians have struggled with this concept for centuries because they have substituted the institution for Christ. I'll give you an illustration of this. The man pictured here is named Martin Luther. You've probably heard of Martin Luther. In 1517, he posted his 95 theses against the sale of indulgences on the door of Wittenberg Castle, and the Reformation began. The Roman Catholic Church was teaching that if you wanted to be absolved of your sins, you give money to the church. You hear very similar teaching today, even in evangelical circles. You want the blessings of God, you give money to the church. Martin Luther opposed that and put his 95 theses against the sale of indulgences on the door, and the Reformation began. But let me tell you about his life before that. He was a Roman Catholic priest, and he never could quite settle in his heart whether or not the favor of God was upon him for two reasons. He knew his own struggles. He knew his own sin. And he couldn't fathom how a holy God could bless him, much less love him, could favor him. It was a struggle for him. And because of that, he plunged deeper and deeper and deeper into his own personal performance in order to obtain the favor of God. In fact, he ended up making a pilgrimage to Rome, to these steps right here, called the Santa Scala, the sacred steps. These are the actual steps that Martin Luther, in the 16th century, the first decade of that century, these are the actual steps that he crawled up on his hands and his knees and his elbows, pausing along the way, begging God to bring him favor. Let me tell you about these steps. These are steps, allegedly, says the Roman Catholic Church, taken from the Praetorium. Now, the Praetorium is pictured here. It is a place in Jerusalem, back when Jesus was living, where the Roman guards lived. They guarded the city. And there were steps to get into the Praetorium. The reason these are significant steps is because they are precisely, at least according to the Scripture, the steps that Jesus walked up when he stood before Pilate. In fact, this photograph shows Jesus in the Praetorium before Pilate. The mother of Constantine, her name was Helena. She made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem when Rome became a Christian nation in 317 AD, when Constantine declared the Roman nation as Christian. She made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and Helena, here's a portrait of her. She allegedly took the steps in the Praetorium, brought them back to Rome. And these have become the Santa Scala, the holy steps for the Roman Catholic Church. And it is said by the Pope that when you call up these steps on your hands and knees and you pause and you beg God for his mercy, you'll receive an indulgence. This is what Martin Luther was doing, performing. And before we become a little too harsh on our Roman Catholic brethren, let me just say that we Southern Baptists have our own Santa Sancta. No, yeah, we do. Let's just be honest. We have our own religious rituals, our own religious heritage that we cling to as if it is from God himself. Our performance and the things that we do, it's almost like, oh, no, 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 we cannot change our Santa Sanctas. We've got to continue to do our rituals because that's how the favor of God falls on us. Folks, come on, let's get a grip. Let me tell you what happened to Luther. As he was on his elbows and his knees and his hands, crawling up the Santa Sancta, this verse that we're looking at came to his mind. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And he stopped. And in his own autobiography, he says that he began to think, how am I living by faith? I am living by my performance. I am trusting in what I'm doing. How am I living by faith? And Luther says, on the steps of the Santa Santa, he was converted. He stood up and he walked away, and his life forever changed. Power, spiritual power, was invested in him because his binoculars turned from within and turned toward God. And he began to see God as being for him in the giving of his son. And Martin Luther stopped performing. The opposite of faith in God is faith in your religious performance. I want to close by showing you a third thing from this text that I hope will be a final word of encouragement. Faith brings to you and to me vitality and strength in every condition, experience, and stage of life. Here's what I mean by that. You need faith in God when things are going very, very well. George Mueller used to run orphanages. When he started, he had little money. But as word began to spread about this man of faith and man of prayer who was providing food and shelter for orphans in England, donations poured in from across the world. And George Mueller, in a very profound book on faith, says it requires more faith in God when things are going well than it does when things are going poorly. Because when things are going well, if you're not careful, your faith begins to be in the things you have. You need faith in God when things are going poorly. Oh, that's self-evident. That's your life. You and I are not defined by whether or not things are going well. We're going to see in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, 16 men and women named by the writer of Hebrews. Many of them were put to death by the sword. Some were thrown to the lions. Yet they never shrinked back. They never turned away from their faith. It is called the Hall of Faith. You and I need to be in that same hall. Doesn't make any difference if things are going well or things are going poorly. We need faith in God. Mistrust of God has never put to flight the enemies of your soul, ever. And even if you have experienced bad news this past week, even if your whole world has come crashing in around you, you can only joyfully accept the loss of precious things when your faith is in God. We need faith in God at all times. Not faith in faith. Not faith and trust, faith in God. Sometimes your faith will be weak. Sometimes your faith will seem to be non-existent. Whatever faith you have, how little it is, how weak it is, turn it to God. And what you'll find is faith in God is life itself. The just by faith shall live. The word life in the New Testament is the word zoe. It has the idea of vitality and strength that just oozes from within. The only way you and I will have life is when we stop trusting ourselves and we stop trusting the church, the institution. We stop trusting our performance and we stop trusting whether or not we succeed, and we start trusting God at all times, in every scenario, no matter what we face. Have faith in God. The just shall live by faith. By faith, I live. I heard about an old slave whose master was dying. And someone came to the slave and said, "I heard your owner is dying." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he is." "Tell me, how is he dying?" And the slave who loved his master said, "He is dying full of life." I pray that when the day comes for us to die, those who love us might be able to say, "He is dying full of life." For the just, by faith, live. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that those of us who are here, who have come to faith in you through the gift of your Son, might realize the importance of living every day. It's not the faith of our past. It's the faith of our present. You've told us, Lord, in your word, to live by faith. My prayer is that that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl who has heard your word this morning will be like these early Hebrew believers and will not shrink back, will not turn away when things get tough, and will not even turn away when things go well. But by faith, your people will live. Lord, give us the grace to live this way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me introduce some new folks to our church this morning, people who joined our fellowship last week. Had a lot of our church members out of town because of Memorial Day, but we had some great services. First, Andy and Tammy Heyman. Their children, Elise and Nick, Anna and Emily, all know Christ as their Savior. They joined in this service, the early